This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Tuesday evening alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Matt, 1 week from today, you and I will be in Honolulu, but we still have 7 days until we get out to the islands for our live show. So we need to focus for the next week until we board a plane out to Honolulu. We'll talk more about our adventure later on in the show, but we've got lots of baseball going on in front of our eyes. And real quickly, Matt, I know this network has had all day to recap what we witnessed last night, and Dustin Sweetelson, live on the air, got to react to a walk-off homer from PCA. But I would say, tip of the cap to us, pretty good game of the night last night. White Sox and Cubs might have been the best game of the night we've had in a long time.
Yeah, it's true, Tim, but we can't pat ourselves on the back too much for that. I mean,
I'd like to.
Huh?
I'd like to, though.
Yeah, I think a chimpanzee could have picked that game as the game of the night last night. White Sox, Cubs.
I don't know. They might have picked something else.
We want to go with it again tonight? We'll decide here in a few minutes we're going to go with it again tonight. Bevs, you know, I said it was about 2 weeks ago that White Sox-Red Sox game when extra innings probably the best game of the year.
Yeah.
Last night might have been a top 10 game. It was incredible the way it started and the way it finished, and Pete Crow Armstrong with a leadoff homer and a walk-off homer. And was that his MVP moment last night? Well, it's too early to say. I really think this Shohei Ohtani PCA battle is going to go to the wire, and especially if Shohei comes back to pitch more soon, which looks like that's going to be the case.
You know, here's the thing, and now you could have got much better numbers at different times, but last night we were on the air, and you mentioned you would take PCA plus money. It was plus 115.
But I didn't take it.
Now you could get Shohei Ohtani at plus money. DraftKings has him at plus 125 at this very moment. So we've seen a shift, and it's just going to keep bouncing back and forth, you would imagine, over the next 6 weeks or so. We've got some sound we'll get to a little bit later on in this hour from some folks who are boots on the ground talking to different players on who they think could win NL MVP. But what a performance last night from PCA. Not too shabby, by the way, for Shohei Ohtani, who also hit two home runs last night, but it was against the Rockies. It wasn't a leadoff homer on the first pitch that he saw, and then a walk-off homer, his first of his career. First time since 1957 we have seen a player hit a homer in the first pitch that his team faced, and then a walk-off homer. So pretty rarefied air for PCA as he gets it done last night. But Matt, before we dive into the game still to come, we do have a big series going on in Baltimore. The Yankees, owners of the top wildcard spot in the American League, and the Baltimore Orioles, who did lose last night, failed to complete that four-game sweep against the Tampa Bay Rays, but the Baltimore Orioles, somehow, some way, right there in the thick of it for that final wild card spot, scoreless, headed to the bottom of the second between the Yankees and the Orioles.
Yeah, this is a spot where I seriously considered betting the Yankees today, but I just don't like Carlos Rodon. I don't typically bet on him, but the situation set up really well for the Yankees. They had a day of rest. The Orioles just came off that long 11-day, 10-game road trip. This is their first game back home. You said, the bullpen was blown out last night in that game against Tampa Bay. All the factors you look for in a handicap are there with the Yankees and against the Orioles. We'll see if it works out that way. The only factor, overriding factor for me, is I did not want to bet on Rodon. And Yankees offense has been anemic lately, and that's a bit of a concern too, but we'll see how that plays out. If anyone bet the Yankees, I certainly would not argue with that, and that would have been the side I would be on tonight. And it looks like the Yankees closed here at Circa minus 109.
Right now, they're around minus 115 on the live number. Scoreless headed to the bottom of the second. Game starting in 5 minutes, Matt. We've got a big one that the Boston Red Sox taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. You had the Red Sox on one of your two little fun parlays yesterday. Both were winners. Well done by you. The Arizona Diamondbacks currently on the outside looking in of the National League wild card race, and the Boston Red Sox currently the occupant of the second wild card spot. You've got Merrill Kelly pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks at Fenway Park here in 5 minutes. Ranger Suarez gets the nod for the Red Sox. Ranger Suarez, 3.25 ERA so far this season, 4-3 record. Last time out, he had 5 innings, allowed 1 run on 6 hits against the Toronto Blue Jays 6 days ago. The Boston Red Sox in this spot against the Arizona Diamondbacks coming in at around -167. So big favorites tonight for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, a little bit too big for me. I played the Red Sox last night, but that was a much cheaper price. That was right around 130. 160, a little bit too high for this matchup for me. So I did pass on that. But Red Sox, not a team I wanted to bet against tonight. So did not think about playing the dog.
All right, elsewhere coming up in a moment, how about Robbie Ray and the San Diego Padres? Ray, one of the acquisitions for the San Diego Padres, getting them from the San Francisco Giants as he goes up against the New York Mets. Who knew, Matt, the red-hot New York Mets? 4 wins in a row for the New York Mets.
Tim, it's also too little, too late.
You think?
Yeah,
a little bit. The San Diego Padres, slight road favorites here at Circa. You can lay $1.08 if you like the San Diego Padres. If you're looking to back the New York Mets, DraftKings has them at +108. So San Diego, slight road favorite Mets, winners of 4 in a row as they take the field at Citi Field in 5 minutes.
Obviously, a game that means something to the Padres tonight. By the way, the San Diego franchise has been sold. Did you see that news?
I did see that news.
And the new owners have promised to bring a World Series
to
San Diego.
It's good to know.
Yeah, get your tickets now.
Matt, are we still doing Manny Machado updates? Or?
I tell you, Manny's been on the tear. Last I checked, he has average up around 220. I got to give him credit for that because he was buried at 170. And it was pretty embarrassing. I know he was embarrassed. He talked about it. He got his batting average bumped up about 40 or 50 points. Cal Raleigh, we can't say the same thing about him. It's one of the most baffling things ever is how Cal Raleigh was right there to win MVP last season. And this year, he's among the worst players in baseball.
Telling you what, man, karma. Just give your teammate a fist bump during the World Baseball Classic. All would be forgiven. The San Diego Padres, of course, last week, Matt, had the sweep of the Brewers. 3-game series at Petco Park. Great homestand where they won 5 in a row. Started this road trip 2 of 3 from the Guardians. Lose last night 2-1. So we'll see back at it tonight. Robbie Ray, as mentioned, on the hill, acquired from the San Francisco Giants at the trade deadline. So, you know, give them some credit, Matt. They went for it at the trade deadline. They've brought in Robbie Ray. Ray's 2 starts as a member of the San Diego Padres. First start, forgettable. 4 runs on 7 hits over 5. Lasted 4 innings against the Brewers. 2 runs on 4 hits. Pitch count got up to 84 pitches before he was yanked from that game. So both those games starting, Matt, in just a couple of minutes. But we do have a game of the night to discuss. Last night, it was so good. At Wrigley Field, let's do it again.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
7-5 and 10 innings last night. It was the Chicago Cubs coming back to beat the Chicago White Sox. It was a really good opportunity. Live betting. Cubs trailed going into the ninth inning. Get a run in that ninth. Force extras. PCA walks it off. First career walk-off home run for Pete Crow Armstrong. So, Matt, now your favorite to win National League MVP, PCA, and the Chicago Cubs back at it today against their crosstown rival, the Chicago White Sox. First pitch, 8:05 Eastern time. And Kevin Gausman, speaking of acquisitions at the deadline, Gausman gets the start, and they're around a $1.65 favorite if you want to lay it with the Cubs at DraftKings. If you want to take it with the White Sox, looks like +157 here at Circa.
Brian Hudson, a lefty, is going to go for the White Sox, and he's typically a bullpen guy. He's appeared in 54 games, only 6 starts this season for Hudson. He's got pretty good numbers, 52 innings pitched, allowed only 2 home runs, 8.7 Ks per 9, a whip of 128, ERA of 314. So I don't think the Cubs are going to be very familiar with Hudson. Maybe that's going to be an advantage for him tonight, but did not play this game. You know, it's funny, Tim, you said I parlayed those 4 favorites last night. And there's always one that you got to sweat out. Always. Okay? And that was the Cubs. Last night, that was a dramatic win with the Cubs. And I did decide I did not want to come back on the Cubs tonight, especially at this price of a $1.70. You wonder if they used all their magic last night at Wrigley Field, and it's a White Sox time to strike back here. But the pitching matchup is not a big advantage. It's a decent advantage for the Cubs, but not much. Not enough to lay 170 for me.
Kevin Gausman, as mentioned, gets the nod here for the Chicago Cubs, coming over from the Toronto Blue Jays. In his starts with the Cubs, he's had two of them. His first one, pretty strong against the Royals. Seven innings, allowed two runs on four hits. Second one, not so good. He was lit up by the Washington Nationals 5 days ago. Six runs on seven hits in D.C. It was a matinee as the Nats won that game 7-0. So Gausman gets the start for the Washington, or excuse me, for the Chicago Cubs, and PCA will lead off again for the Cubbies, and looking for.
I'll tell you what, if he leads off this game with a home run, his MVP odds are going to get a boost. By the way, I just got a text from a friend who's betting tonight's games, and the first sentence says, "Aaron Boone is such a moron." I don't even need to read.
Thank
the
you,
rest.
Will Hill. I appreciate that. Appreciate the update there. Scoreless, by the way. Bottom of the second inning, Camden Yards. Bases loaded against Carlos Rodon. And Matt, maybe your inclination of not betting on Carlos Rodon was accurate, as right now.
He's really the only Yankee pitcher I will not bet, and sometimes I'll bet against him. But, Jazz Chisholm misplays the ball at second base. Can't blame that on Rodon right there. That's a
look like a double play ball pretty easily.
Hey, Tim, have you ever seen the Yankees make a defensive blunder?
I think that's a trick question.
Jazz Chisholm is a clown. I said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Why did the Yankees not trade for Luis Arraez and put him at second base in the leadoff spot?
Hashtag Yankees update. Scoreless bottom of the second inning right now at Camden Yards. PCA, by the way, $1.55 favorite at DraftKings to win NL MVP. Shohei Ohtani plus 125. Busy night ahead in Major League Baseball, and of course, plenty of football to get you ready for, including our top 10 games of the college football season.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Today on the show, we'll go behind the counter. Jeff Sherman will join the program. Get the latest on preseason action from week one. How did the Circa Sportsbook fare with Scotty Scheffler taking care of business this past weekend? We'll look ahead to this upcoming weekend, too, for the PGA Tour. Eddie Walls, professional bettor, will join the program. We're going to talk a little college football with him. Brett Ciancia, pick six previews in hour three. And Jared Smith, he's going to be doing a weekly hit with us all throughout the year, Matt. 10:15 Eastern, we're going to talk to Jared Smith. He's got four quarterback unders for passing yards this year in the NFL. So we'll dive into that with Jared Smith.
It's been a long time since we had Eddie Walls on the show, but very sharp college football handicapper. Kind of looks at things from a different perspective than a lot of people do. So we'll see what Eddie's got on his mind tonight. Great to have him on the show every week, and he will be in hour number two.
And Brett Ciancia, by the way, of Pick Six Previews, he texted me. He's got a win total that might surprise you a
really?
Little bit. Yeah. There's been a lot of, I'll just say, a lot of positivity regarding this team, and Brett not so high on them. So we'll get to that in hour number three. Also, Stanford Steve was on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast this week. Always great to catch up with our friend Stanford Steve. We'll play a clip of his a little bit later on in the show. But Matt, right now, is it fair to say on a Tuesday night, fresh off of PCA's performance last night, the biggest story in the sports betting world is the NL MVP race? For a Tuesday night in August.
For a Tuesday night.
I'm not trying to say, you know, this was a Saturday. It'd be a little bit different.
Pretty soon it's going to get lost in the shuffle by the football season. But right now it's a hot topic, so let's talk about it now.
Yeah, so before we get to a little clip, including a thought from Jeff Passan of ESPN, you wanted to hit on a tweet that Mitch Moss had. So let's bring up this tweet from Mitch Moss, and you could set it up for us, Matt. Is Mitch had a question to ask the people out there. The NL MVP, basically a pick'em between PCA and Ohtani. Who would you bet on right now if they announced the winner tonight? Interesting phrasing there from Mitch.
Yeah, if they announced the winner tonight, I believe PCA would win it. And he is the favorite of the DraftKings right now, but he's also riding the wave of last night's sensational game at Wrigley Field, where he led off with a homer, walked it off, and he had his MVP moment last night. But we have a month and a half yet to play, Tim. And we might see Shohei Ohtani on the mound again. When I saw Mitch's tweet, one of the first things I wanted to do was look at the responses.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see what the Twitter crowd was saying, and I knew there were going to be some pinheads in there with some responses that were not that bright. But there was one guy had a response that said, it's PCA and it's not even close.
Oh, that's the best.
Come on, man. It's very close. It's very, very close. And here's why. Let me tell you something about PCA. He's batting 281. Ohtani batting 295. PCA 30 homers. Ohtani 29. Both have 78 RBIs. I looked up Cubs pitching stats and couldn't find any for PCA. Shohei Ohtani has 14. He has 14 starts. He's 8-2 with a WHIP of 0.95 and an ERA of 1.79. Strikeouts off the chart. If you want to go by WAR, PCA 7.7. Ohtani, if you combine his hitting and pitching WAR, just a little bit less. It's very close. But, Tim, the point there is if you look at the offensive numbers, almost identical between those two. And then you add in Ohtani's made 14 starts. He's been outstanding as a pitcher, and he's not done yet. He's going to pitch. He said his knee feels good. He just had a bullpen session. Knee feels good. He's ready to pitch again soon. So we could see Ohtani make, who knows, four or five more starts here at the end of the season. It is close. Don't say it's not even close. And if you say that, you sound ignorant.
It's a season-long award. And I'm not saying that Ohtani should win it. And the way Mitch phrased it, I think PCA, if the award was handed out today, I think PCA would win, as you mentioned. But we still have 6 weeks left in the season. And Shohei Ohtani has an ERA under two. He was the one of the front runners for Cy Young before his knee got banged up.
Well, just like I said, the batting statistics are nearly identical.
Yep.
Ohtani's actually batting 14 points better, okay? Plus, Ohtani has 14 starts. He's 8-2 as a pitcher. How can somebody say it's not even close? I mean, we're just taking for granted now that Ohtani's a two-way player.
Yes.
And he's been great for 14. Well, that doesn't really matter.
Now, it is also important to know that PCA, and you'll hear this in the clip here in just a moment, is elite defensively. And
he is.
As pointed out by someone on Twitter, only one player has had 30-plus homers, 30-plus steals, and a gold glove in consecutive seasons. Matt, who do you think that was?
That's a good question. Who was it?
Barry Bonds.
Bonds?
Pete Crow Armstrong will join that fraternity this year.
I didn't know he had
a
gold glove and
back when he was
back season.
Back in Pittsburgh.
Back
before
in Pittsburgh.
His head got really big when he went to San Francisco.
I don't have
I don't
no idea why.
It must That's be true. The air in San Francisco. I don't know what it was. He got really big and his head got huge. I don't know what happened there, Matt.
Tim, are you making accusations?
No, I'm not. I'm just stating what I saw with my eyes. He was a little skinnier and a little faster.
PCA is an outstanding defensive player.
And that's why his WAR is.
And that's why his WAR is a little bit higher, 7.7. And like I said, if I voted tonight, I'd vote for PCA, but I'm telling you, it's very, very close.
And especially if Shohei Ohtani, as you mentioned, gets back on the hill. So is there value in Ohtani at plus 125? Does it drift even further? Well, let's hear from Cam Rogers, who's a MLB reporter for ESPN, as well as Jeff Passan. They were just on ESPN with a little inside information from around the league regarding the NL MVP race.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking to players not associated with the Cubs or Dodgers because they're going to be biased. And overwhelmingly, they're picking PCA right now. Now, there's a few caveats. Guys have said to me, look, if Ohtani gets back on the mound, maybe a different story. But I think they're all kind of a prisoner of the recency bias. I think we all are. Highlights of PCA are playing constantly. And I don't just mean at the plate. You see him on the bases. You see him in center field. Well, Ohtani is just DHing right now. So as players get ready for their games and the Cubs are playing a day game, there's PCA doing his thing. So right now, talking to over a third of the teams around the league and over 20 to about 25 players that I've spoken to, overwhelmingly, their choice is PCA.
Yeah, and Jesse, you mentioned it. Ohtani is neck and neck with PCA with just over a month left in the season. Jeff, how much will whether or not Ohtani pitches again factor into who wins this award?
I think it's everything, Christine. I think if Shohei Ohtani goes back out there and pitches the way that he did when he put up a 1.79 ERA over the course of the season before the knee injury put him out, then it's going to be a race. Otherwise, right now, it's very simple. Pete Crow Armstrong and Shohei Ohtani have almost identical offensive numbers. Their on-base percentages are with 10 points of each other. Their slugging percentages are within 5 points of each other. They're the same guy, except PCA steals 30 bases, too. Except PCA is the best defensive player in Major League Baseball as well. So for Ohtani to be in contention for this award, he needs to have some kind of a separator. And that separator, Christine, is him being back on the mound.
Jesse Rogers talked to folks around the league. Pete Thamel. Jeff Passett, excuse me, goes with a little insight there. And almost exactly what you said, Matt. Numbers hitting-wise are identical. PCA right now, if you look at the stolen bases and the fielding, does that trump what Ohtani did pitching-wise earlier in the season?
I think it does, but just barely. We're taking for granted how great Ohtani is as a pitcher. I think
what were the numbers again, Matt? 1.79 ERA.
Yeah, a WHIP under 1.79 ERA, 8-2 and 14 starts. That counts for something. That counts for a lot, and especially if he comes back and pitches at the same level, it's going to be a real tight race to the wire. Right now, like I said, I would vote for Pete Crow Armstrong tonight, but it'd be close. And Jesse Rogers said something there that is right on the money, too. He said recency bias with Pete Crow Armstrong. He's been great recently, and everybody's fired up about PCA. If he goes through a two-week hitting slump, who knows what happens, and typically that happens to everybody. But also, I think this factors into it as well, and why I think Pete Crow Armstrong is ultimately going to win this, is that voters...
fatigue?
Yeah, they want to vote for somebody else. Huh? They don't want to vote for Ohtani every year. And Pete Crow Armstrong's giving them a reason to vote for someone else.
Karl Malone in the late 90s winning NBA MVP, right. Or, you know, who was it? Joel Embiid beating out Jokic for the MVP.
Like, that was a joke.
I know. Yeah. I mean, there is voter fatigue. Russell Westbrook, right, when he had the triple-double, that was the only numbers that made sense. How about the shift in the odds? Last night, Matt, as we were on the air, Pete Crow Armstrong was +110 to win MVP. He's now $1.55 favorite. So you move 65 cents. Had an amazing game. Shohei Ohtani also hit two home runs last night, too. So that's kind of the crazy thing. And as, you know, Jesse Rogers said, and you mentioned it, recency bias. What has happened lately? So is it too aggressive of a move based off of one game that we all saw last night? 65-cent move for a baseball postseason.
It was also, like you said, the same night Ohtani hit two homers.
Right, yeah.
It's a little recency bias. I also think it's voter fatigue for Ohtani and the fact that, look, everybody wants most people want a new MVP. They want somebody else, and Pete Crow Armstrong is giving you someone else to vote for. It's like a presidential election. If you don't like this candidate, you don't like that candidate. Is there an alternative? Well, in this case, if you don't want to vote for Ohtani, Pete Crow Armstrong is giving you a great alternative. And if he keeps this up, I think he's going to win it. That's a big move in the market last.
65-cent move based off of just one game. We got a homer at Camden Yards. We'll update you on all the baseball action next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. We got ourselves a tie ball game at Camden Yards. As we went to break, Matt, Trent Grisham went yard to right field, but Coby Mayo has tied it up at Camden Yards. 1-1 the score, bottom of the third inning between the Orioles and the Yankees.
Yeah, if you bet the Yankees, I guess you could say you probably feel fortunate to be tied at one. Rodon got out of trouble there, bases loaded with one out after the Jazz Chisholm error, but he escaped, and now we got a tie game again. Bottom of the third with two outs in Baltimore.
Mayo and Grisham both their 17th home runs of the season. About to get underway, Matt, in Milwaukee. Big series for the Brewers. Every series for the Brewers, for the Cubs, for the Braves, for the Dodgers, for the Padres. All important, it feels like, right now. Brewers coming off of that West Coast road trip where they salvaged things against the Dodgers, going 3-4, a much-needed day off yesterday, and they welcome in the Mariners, who I would say have been very disappointing, and you would agree with that. Even though, Matt, they're about a game out of a playoff spot in the American League.
Is that another home run?
I think that's a replay.
Oh,
I was going to say.
They showed the replay four times. I think we've seen it enough. I thought that was back-to-back homers. There's a shot to left field, and there's a flyout. By the way, the Brewers, when they got swept in San Diego last week, I thought, oh, man, this could be a disaster, right? This road trip going up to L.A. for four. Well, they salvaged that by winning three of four against the Dodgers and still have the best record in baseball. And, Tim, as you know, because you do a sports show in Milwaukee, that was big to get the edge over the Dodgers and get that last win. Huge. Because the Brewers lead the Dodgers 4-3 in the season series, and obviously you have the better record.
Yep. Quick update from Boston. Speaking of the Orioles, how about former Oriole Adley Rutschman, Matt? Two-run single here in the bottom of the first inning, and former Milwaukee Brewer Chad Durbin just hit a sac fly. 3-0 Red Sox with the lead over the Arizona Diamondbacks. So the Boston Red Sox, who had been the hottest team in, 15 years or so, had a couple of speed bumps along the way going into this series, but blew out the Diamondbacks yesterday, 11-1. Good start for the Red Sox here today. They lead 3-0. The Tampa Bay Rays, Matt, is it time to be concerned about the Rays at all? Still have a 6-game lead in the division.
Well, I think you'd be a lot more concerned if they got swept last night.
That's true.
The thing is, I don't feel like the Red Sox or the Yankees are going to have enough to chase him down from behind down the stretch. And, I mean, if the Yankees get Bellinger and Judge and Stanton back in early September, maybe. But, no, right now the Rays are big favorites to win that division, and I don't think they're going to choke it.
By the way, Citi Field right now, the Padres have an early 1-0 lead over the New York Mets. Fernando Tatis Jr., remember how long it took to get him on the board with a home run?
It took
2 months.
I thought it was longer.
Might have been longer. His first homer was against the Nats.
It was in June, wasn't it?
Yeah. In D.C., I believe. Fernando Tatis, 14th home run of the season, blast over 450 feet. In the first inning at Citi Field, 1-0 is the score. Hey, Matt, I saw a tweet. You know, sometimes old tweets make their ways around, and this tweet was from July 30th, 2021. Tell me what you think about this tweet. It's from the official New York Mets account. We've acquired 2-time All-Star infielder Javier Baez.
Wow, it sounds like a good deal for the Mets.
Right-hander Trevor Williams and cash considerations in exchange for minor league outfielder Pete Crow Armstrong.
Ooh, maybe not.
By the way, the first response at Wardy, NYM, damn right, in all caps,
yeah.
And an emoji with stars in his eyes. Yeah, that didn't.
Big deal for the Mets. They're going for it. And they traded away an MVP.
Funny how these trades, you know, we get so locked in on trade deadline. Sometimes these prospects that go the other way end up working out quite well. And Pete Crow Armstrong, once upon a time, a New York Met farmhand, and now he is the favorite to win the MVP.
Well, Will Hill and I were debating this, and I said a couple weeks before the trade deadline, the Tigers absolutely have to trade Tarek Skubal. And you get prospects in return, make sure you get a good haul in return. But look, I know at the time fans get upset. They don't want to trade the superstars, and I understand that, but look, some of these trades can turn out to be a huge boost for your franchise in the future. How would the Cubs look right now without Pete Crow Armstrong, right? And how the Dodgers once traded Yordan Alvarez to the Astros. The Guardians traded Junior Caminero to the Rays. Right? So some of these deals, you don't know who the prospects are, and you get upset when stars get traded, but they can be franchise-changing moves when you get the right prospects in return.
Matt, it's that time of year in the NFL right now and in college football where as fan bases are excited, they're also terrified about the news that might come out from these practices. And here we go again with the Chargers. Last year just decimated on the offensive line. Two absolute studs, anchors, both injured on the respective sides of the line. Now let's go in the middle, Matt, as it looks like Tyler Biadasz, who they signed as a free agent to start at center, looks like he could be potentially done for the year.
Let's hope
as
not.
He left, was carted off the field with an injury. This is from Daniel Popper. Tyler Biadasz just went down during team drills. Cart is out, can't put any weight on his leg. What did the Chargers do, Matt, to piss off the the injury gods, because Rashawn Slater last year, Joe Alt last year, and now potentially their starting center, Biotish.
Probably Dean Spanos.
That's true.
Right? Bad karma.
We talked about the karma of Cal Raleigh not giving his teammate a fist bump during the World Baseball
Nobody
Classic.
Nobody likes Dean Spanos. You know, the Chargers feel like a cursed franchise. I've said this for a long time. It's like the Bermuda Triangle in Los Angeles. Three franchises that are cursed.
Angels.
Angels.
Clippers.
Clippers.
Chargers.
And Chargers. It is. And by the way, Aaron Moore, the professor, he's going to be on the show with me Friday. He's a diehard Chargers fan. He does die hard with the Chargers every year. He was so depressed about this offensive line injury this morning. He's, every year this happens. As it does. It happens. Last year, you're booking tackles. Oh. Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater went down. A total disaster on the offensive line a year ago, and you hate to see this. I was grading offensive lines a couple weeks ago, and I said, man, Chargers, you'd have a top three offensive line this year. Now your center goes down.
Yeah, so hopefully it's not as bad as it looks, but you hate to see things like that. Non-contact injury leaving on the cart. Matt, another day, another injury for the San Francisco 49ers. It doesn't sound like this one nearly as bad, but you just never know. We talked about DeJuan Stribling, the wide receiver, the rookie out of Ole Miss, and his opportunity to maybe win Rookie of the Year with the Jordan Tyson injury down in New Orleans. Well, Mike Evans leaving practice today with a wrap on his foot slash ankle, according to Nick Wagoner. Looks like practice done for the day. That doesn't seem nearly as devastating as the injury to Tyler Biadasz there. But Christian McCaffrey, he's dealt with, what, tightness so far this preseason?
Yeah, there was some speculation that the tightness might have had something to do with the running back market being reset, and he wanted a contract restructured. But apparently he does have some tightness in his hamstring or hips or something like that, and that's why he's sitting out. I think at this stage, I wouldn't think that McCaffrey's sitting out because he wants his contract reworked, but you never know with these guys. The thing about McCaffrey, when he's healthy, he's an absolute stud. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Mike Evans. The problem is the 49ers have got some guys who are starting to get up there in age a little bit, and they're physically fragile. That's going to be a problem.
Good news regarding the Texas Longhorns today as we pivot to other injury news, Matt, is once again, this is that time of year. Trevor Goodsby, the preseason first-team All-American tackle, it does look like it is just a bone bruise on his leg. So that is big news there for the Texas Longhorns, who obviously have massive expectations coming into this year. Look like maybe it could be something worse. So good news there coming out of Austin, as Goodsby is not expected to be out for the foreseeable future. Couple updates, Matt, across Major League Baseball. Once again, our game of the night will come around in 20 minutes. Cubs taking on the Chicago White Sox. Red Sox off to a good start. Three runs in the first inning off of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yankees and Orioles, 1-1. That game headed to the bottom of the fourth inning. Couple homers. Trent Grisham, solo homer to right field. And Coby Mayo responding for the Orioles with a solo homer to left field in the bottom of the third. Right now, that contest, as we look at the live number, has the Orioles as a -151 favorite against the Yankees. Interesting. I guess it's going to pivot back and forth based off of who scores runs in each. So the Yankees don't score in the top of the fourth, head to the bottom of the fourth, and I guess that flips it to the Orioles being a $1.51 favorite. So if you want to jump in on the Yankees, +131 right now at DraftKings.
By the way, Manny Machado, I double-checked, batting .212 going into today's game. I mean, that's acceptable. I know you got to lower your standards for baseball in this era, Tim, because there's so many guys batting between, you know, .250 and .210, and it's, you just don't have the number of 300 hitters you used to have. And, you know, when I was growing up with baseball, you had guys like Tony Gwynn and a bunch of players who would bat 300 or better. You just rarely have that anymore.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Coming up top of the hour, we'll check in with Jeff Sherman of the Circus Sportsbook, almost said his former employer. Got to get used to saying Circa Sports now for Jeff, who has moved over here to be a part of the Circa Sports team. So Jeff will join us, give us the latest from behind the counter coming up top of the hour. Week two of the NFL preseason gets underway tomorrow. Matt, we get a ESPN game. So the ESPN crew going to be brought out. SVP off of his summer vacation, I heard, is going to be back in action tomorrow night. I believe the Houston Vegas game That's is going to be on ESPN. Oh, I'm sorry, Thursday. I always think about where we're at. On Wednesday, we're off. So Thursday night, excuse me. But Jeff Sherman will join us coming up top of the hour. Pro bettor Eddie Walls will jump on the program coming up at 8:30 Eastern as well. End of four innings, Matt, in Baltimore. Deep drive to center field, but not deep enough. 1-1 is the score, and Carlos Rodon throws a scoreless inning there, and the Orioles go from minus 151 to minus 117 after a scoreless inning.
You got to hit pretty deep to get it past Trent Grisham. He's like Willie Mays out there in center field. He tracked that ball down and made the catch. I would say that Rodon has been okay. He has not been that sharp so far. If you bet the Yankees, you have to feel pretty good about the game being tied.
Matt, looking ahead to week two of the preseason, two games on Thursday, three on Friday, loaded Saturday slate. So very busy Saturday. So I'm going to have my hands full on Saturday morning. Looking forward to that. And then we will actually get a Sunday nighter, Seattle and Tennessee, wrapping up week number two. But we get Vegas and Houston, by the way. They are doing joint practices right now. Down there in Houston, not at this very moment, but this week, Vegas and Houston, San Francisco, and the Chargers as well. Taking a look at the line moves, starting to see a little bit of movement here, Matt, as Houston has flipped to the favorite against the Raiders. They're 1.5-point favorites. We've seen the Chargers flip from favorite to dog. The Niners, now a 1.5-point favorite. We'll start to find out more news in and out, who's going to play. Any initial games jump out at you for the week two NFL preseason slate?
Well, obviously you're trying to get as much information as possible about how many starters are going to be playing for how long, and mostly it's quarterback news that's come out at this point. I'm a little curious that the Niners have flipped to 1.5-point favorites against the Chargers. I don't know if that's because the Chargers had that offensive line injury today and they're unlikely to put starters at risk in this game this week, but the Niners have so many injuries right now. I'm not really sure what the positive aspect is to betting on them. The Rams are a intriguing team to me, and the Rams have gone to 3-point underdogs at home against the Saints. And I haven't seen what Sean McVay says he's going to do with his quarterbacks, but Ty Simpson was really good last week, and I did bet the Rams at Kansas City. They were 2.5-point dogs, and they won that game pretty easily. Simpson, 21 for 25, 190 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. And I thought Stetson Bennett was okay to start the game. But obviously, Saints are going to play some starters this week, and that line has flipped to New Orleans -3 on the road. I might play the Rams there. Who knows? You got to dig for as much information as possible. And as of last night or this morning, didn't have a whole lot to go with on some of these games. I was surprised the Saints flipped all the way to 3-point favorites.
By the way, we mentioned it last night, and many of you are aware of this, but you're seeing these line moves. It's making you scratch your chin. Well, think back to week one of the preseason, Matt. As Brad Powers pointed out, and we talked about this tweet last night, if you steam chased every 3-point or more line move, side and total,
unbelievable.
0-10-1 against the spread on those line moves.
That's
just
really
wild.
Hard to believe. It's hard to believe because those are, you know, sharp line moves. That's why we're talking about these early moves here on the screen right now. And if you chase these moves, you lost every one last week in the NFL preseason. That rarely ever happens like that.
Underdogs 11-4-1 ATS week one of the preseason. Unders 12-4. So do we see a little correction? You mentioned it last night, Matt. Week one of the preseason a year ago, overs were flying.
44.8 points a game.
And then this past week one, unders go 12-4.
Yeah, that's not, you know, trends in the preseason don't mean a lot to me, but it can be unpredictable. And that's why some people hate to bet the preseason. Other people love to bet it because it's information-based. And, you know, sometimes it's going to work in your favor. Sometimes it's not. Last week, I would say, I think I went 2-4 on six bets. So not a good first week in the preseason. I have not bet anything yet this week.
You know, Matt, so you're looking at line moves for the preseason. Like you said, a lot of it information-based. As we look ahead to week zero of the college football season, we're seeing a bunch of line moves. And I'm curious, a couple of them are intriguing to me. Memphis take it on UNLV. It's the late night game. You and I always love to bet the late night game. 10 o'clock Eastern. This will be Big Fox, by the way, UNLV and Memphis. Really important game potentially for the G6 representative in the college football playoff. Memphis up to a 6.5-point dog here at Circa. We talked about this briefly last night on the show. Got a new head coach in Memphis in Charles Huff. But, man, that is a big old move. A lot of the talent left Memphis, but a lot of talent also came in with him from Southern Miss, a pretty good team. It kind of fell off the cliff a little bit at the end of last year. And I'll be honest, you know, we talk about coaching hires and fires all the time. Memphis upgraded a coach. Charles Huff's a better coach than Ryan Silverfield. I was surprised that he got an Arkansas job that I think is a really tricky job there in the SEC. And we like Dan Mullen. He does obviously a really good job, had a lot of success here at UNLV so far. But you mentioned it last night on the show. If this quarterback battle is really as close as it's being reported with Alex Orji versus Jackson Arnold, I think that's a big uh-oh for UNLV.
I do, too, because I've seen Alex Orji play.
He can't throw a football.
He has trouble completing a pass beyond 5 yards. And right now I think he's the leader in the quarterback competition from what I've heard. Jackson Arnold, you would think eventually he's going to win that competition. But if he doesn't win that for week one – and this line goes up to 7. I would take Memphis. I'm not going to bet it now. Don't have to bet it now. Right. We've got plenty of time until this game on actually, this game's on Saturday night the 29th, right?
Yeah, late night game. We'll be fresh off of watching Hawaii-Stanford, and we'll go find a bar somewhere and watch UNLV Memphis.
Yeah, this number might go to 7. If it does, I'll probably take the Tigers and the points. But – you know, a lot of that has to do with the UNLV quarterback situation, but I also want to read as much as possible to see what develops in UNLV camp here over the next week and a half.
We do have some news, Matt, regarding the first regular season game of the college football season in the FBS ranks, UNC-TCU over
big
in Dublin.
Big news out of North Carolina. Big news,
dude. Billy Edwards Jr. from Maryland fame and a stopover at Wisconsin when he got hurt in his season opener a year ago. Billy Edwards Jr. will be your starter for Bobby Petrino's offense. As Pete Thamel pointed out, UNC has named veteran, and that's what he is, Billy Edwards Jr. as a team starter. He'll debut for the Tar Heels against TCU in Ireland. Edwards won a close battle with Miles O'Neill, a Texas A&M transfer who has familiarity with offensive coordinator Bobby Petrino. Yes, we have a coaching staff of Bill Belichick and Bobby Petrino. The jokes write themselves, but yes.
That's true, but I'll say Bobby Petrino was a good hire because Belichick's job is on the line, and an OC like Bobby Petrino could be a big boost to him this season. Look, the Tar Heels are not picking between Joe Montana and Steve Young, right?
Maybe they would like Steve Montana.
Steve Montana or Joe Young, yeah. Joe Montana or Steve Young's not the quarterback competition in Chapel Hill right now. So they go with Billy Edwards Jr., and best of luck with that. By the way, TCU up to a 7.5-point favorite at a bunch of spots out there right now. It seems like that's one-way action so
yeah.
far.
Yeah, if you're a contrarian better, hold your nose and look at UNC. That is going to be a very lopsided game. I imagine TCU, like you said, one-way action. Who wants to bet on UNC after that train wreck of a season and then a train wreck of an off season as well? We don't really know what to expect from TCU's quarterback, the Harvard transfer, Jaden Craig. I texted a couple people down there. They seemed intrigued, but that's all you really got right now. FCS transfer playing Power 4 football, so we will see. But 7.5, man, that's a big number.
It might go higher.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but if this number goes 8, 8.5, I'm probably going to be on North Carolina.
Matt, if you want to get a little bit more insight on TCU or North Carolina, some of the best bets that we have to offer, how about you check out our intro offer over at vsin.com. With that intro offer, you get access to our vsin college football betting guide, as well as our NFL betting guide, and the refresh NFL betting guide will be coming out in just a couple of weeks. So check it out. vsin.com/subscribe. The intro offer right now is $9.99. It's like you're stealing from us for $9.99. It's ridiculous how cheap that is. All right, quick updates before we hit a break. 1-1 remains the score at Camden Yards. Two outs, top of the fifth inning.
Believe it or not, Austin Wells, who's batting 179, just popped out.
The sarcasm is strong from you over there, Matt Humans. We go behind the counter. We get the latest on preseason week number 2 and how the books fared from preseason week number 1 with Jeff Sherman of Circa Sports.